Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with healings and opposition, plentiful harvest and laborers, instructions for the apostles, persecutions will come. Fear not. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
One of the appalling things about systemic racism theory is that in tarring everyone in the oppressor class with the same brush of being a racist, it lets the actual racists among us off the hook.
Well, do you remember where he told the Ten Commandments to be put? They have to go into the ark, right? Into the heart of the ark. And if you stop and think about it, it's like that's a way of picturing to the people they are from the heart of God himself. And if we are made in the image of God, then they are to be in our heart too.
Congregations begin to expect the preacher to conform to something other than God's word, namely the values and standards that are ubiquitous in a consumeristic culture.
A justifying relationship before God is a yes or no. It's in Christ or not in Christ. There's not sort of halfway in Christ, partly believing. No, that's not it at all. It's either faith or unbelief.
This is Dave from Michigan, and I'm a Lutheran Federal Credit Union member who loves Issues Etc.
This account in Genesis chapter 22, as strange as it is, goes by different names. It's sometimes called the sacrifice of Isaac. It's sometimes, more often, called the binding of Isaac, because Isaac doesn't really get sacrificed here. He does get bound and prepared to be sacrificed, but he never is sacrificed. That's kind of the point of the account. Maybe it should be called by the way the story is introduced. After these things, God tested Abraham. Maybe it should be called not the sacrifice of Isaac or the binding of Isaac, but the testing of Abraham. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll be talking about that account in Genesis 22, where God tests Abraham. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. A little bit later, Pastor Ted Geese teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. We'll be applying the Oscars' new Best Picture standards to past winners of Best Picture and see how they stack up. Then Joy Pullman of The Federalist joins us to discuss critical race theory and public schools. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Genesis 22, the sacrifice of Isaac, Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What does it mean when it says God tested Abraham?
That's a very good question, because a lot of people, if they say they're going to have a test, they kind of get worried about it, because that's going to see how smart you are, how good your memory is, etc. That's why a lot of students study quite a bit before a test in order that they can pass the grade and go to the next one. But I look at this word testing that God is doing to Abraham in a different way. I like looking at it in the sense of testing steel. Now, there are all kinds of steel for automobiles, for bridges, etc. And when they test them, that means that they check out their wear resistance. And they often do it by deforming the surface. And when the surface, for example, is pounded, the stronger it becomes if it doesn't break. And in a sense, I see what's happening to Abraham here in the same way that God did with Job. The devil thought he was going to be able to get Job to fall away from God, but actually God used the devil in order to strengthen Job, to test him. And Job disagreed with a number of his friends who gave him the wrong information. And finally, at the end of Job, he said, "I repent in dust and ashes," after he had a conversation with God and one of his friends. And so I believe that God tests us like he tests steel. For example, children hardly ever want to become independent when their parents tell them to do something. They want to be independent. A two-year-old child is really hard to control sometimes. However, when the child hurts itself, the first thing it does is it goes to its parent. So pain and suffering is a way of testing the resolve of the child to depend more on their parents that God has set up. So when I, as you well said, it came to pass, verse 1 of 22, after these things, that God tested Abraham. And so therefore, it was for the purpose of strengthening his trust and faith in God, which God, of course, accomplished.
He introduces the test by commanding Abraham to take his son, and he kind of piles up the description here, your son, your only son who you love. What's that all about, Tom?
Well, the promise had been made, as we had looked at before in previous Sunday school lessons, that through Isaac, many nations would be blessed. And that promise was made to Abraham and Sarah when Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65, way past childbearing. It took 25 years for Isaac to be born. And so that's their only son right now. And now God doesn't want him to be sacrificed, but wants him to be sacrificed in a specific way. And the way the sacrifices were done, a knife was used to put to death the animal, and then it was burnt. Well, when God told Abraham to do that, there's no questioning on the part of Abraham. Verse 3, he rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. And he saw the place on the third day. So, by the way, there's some real good significance of these items that I was somewhat unaware of until I read the Concordia Publishing House Enduring Faith material to show how closely these things had happened. For example, Isaac was Abraham's only son. Jesus is God's only son. Both events of Isaac about to be sacrificed and Jesus, his sacrifice and resurrection from the dead were 3 days. Both carried wood for the sacrifice. Jesus, his cross, Abraham, the wood, that took place in the same area. That's really interesting, on this mountain. And both sons were submissive to their fathers, and God provided the sacrifice. While he spared Isaac, he did not spare his own son. I thought that was kind of something I had never heard about before, and it shows once more that the God of the Bible is the God who knows the past, the present, and the future.
So how does the story turn out for Abraham and Isaac?
Well, Abraham goes to the place, and I've often thought about how would you film this? How would you get Isaac up on the altar, up on where he was about to be sacrificed? And he really wasn't just 12 or 13 years old. We believe he was probably between 20 and 25 years old when he went with Abraham. And he took his son up there. I saw one movie that showed how it happened, is that as Abraham approached Isaac to put him on the altar, Isaac fainted. And so he just lifted him up. It doesn't really say how it happened. It just says he took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife and the two of them went on together. Now, on their way, Isaac says to his father, "My father, here I am, my son. Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And verse 8, Abraham says, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Now, it's not really clear whether or not Abraham was really believing that another individual or animal would be provided, which did happen. But that's kind of up in the air, although it is somewhat interesting that when he takes the two men with him, that he tells the two men that, "Isaac, we will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So he's telling the young men that were with them that they would stay where they're at, but after Abraham and Isaac finish worshiping, they both will return to the young men. And so it's kind of interesting here that when they come to the place of which God had told him, Abraham builds an altar there, he places the wood in order, and he bounds Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, whether that occurred because he fainted or whether because of the obedience of Isaac, I once did a sermon talking not about the faith of Abraham, but the faith of Isaac. Talk about obedience to his father. And the Sunday school lesson does a pretty good job there. They try and get the students to think, if you were Abraham, what would you be thinking? If you were Isaac, what would you be thinking? And it gets the Sunday school children an opportunity to discuss the lesson from a more personal point of view. So, verse 10, Abraham stretches out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Then verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, that when the Hebrew talks about the angel of the Lord, a lot of times it's referring to Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity in his pre-incarnate state. I mean, he's mentioned in the third verse of the Bible, and it's clear that John 1 says he created all things. So the angel of the Lord called to him. And what does the angel of the Lord say when Abraham says, "Here I am"? "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now that I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." That's really important, that "me," because this is the angel of the Lord speaking, who had told Abraham to go ahead and sacrifice his son. And so when we get back from the break, we'll figure out, did Abraham sacrifice Isaac, or did something else happen?
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the sacrifice of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Dr. Ed Gremenstein, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, speaking boldly.
I think we should, as a Lutheran church body, never forget the power of the lay people in their ability to speak both law and gospel. I think it's literally like an untapped army that we can take better advantage of.
You can purchase Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with healings and opposition, plentiful harvest and laborers, instructions for the apostles, persecutions will come. fear not. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Trinity Lutheran Church, LCMS, of Tryon, North Carolina, also serves the South Carolina upstate. We uphold the confessional standard of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We follow the apostolic practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day using a biblical historic liturgy. Our small parish is teeming with little ones, along with many of retirement age. Several Issues Etc. listeners have been welcomed into Christ's fold here from outside Lutheranism. We invite any unchurched in the area to join us at 10:15 each Sunday.
To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Who is and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on God testing Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Well, Law and Gospel figures prominently into the Issues Etc. book of the month for September called Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. If you're sharing God's Word, you're not just sharing random facts from the Bible. You are speaking God's Word of Law and God's Word of Gospel. That's what it means to bear witness to Christ in your everyday life. You'll find out more about it at our website. It's on every page, Speaking Boldly, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. So, Tom, how does the story come out?
Abraham is ready to kill his son. I want to make an important point here just before we go on here. God had promised to Abraham that Isaac was going to be a blessing to many nations. So why would he agree to kill his son instead of arguing with God? There is an answer in the Bible, but it's not in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Here it goes. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac, your seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he had also received him in a figurative sense. Now, what does that mean? Remember, Sarah was way past childbearing age, 90 years old, and she had a baby. In fact, when she first heard about it 25 years earlier, she laughed because out of derision, there's no way I'm way past childbearing age. But when she had Isaac, she laughed again, only for joy. Abraham knew, in a sense, that Isaac had come from a dead womb, and that kind of trust moved Abraham to be willing to obey God as he did. And that's tremendous what faith does. He believed the promise of God. And one of the most important passages in the Old Testament, when God recognized that Abraham believed his promise, he accounted Abraham as righteous. And that's why every believer is going to heaven, not because of our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ that is given to us. So here's Abraham with a knife in the air, and then he hears again the angel of the Lord, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And this is the angel of the Lord speaking. And when Abraham looked around, there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And in that name is the word for God Moses heard on Mount Sinai, Yahweh. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And remember, that mount of the Lord ended up being Mount Sinai, ended up being where Solomon built the temple, where the Romans destroyed it in 70 AD, etc. Then verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Now, when you read that verse 18, it sounds like God is saying, because you've been obedient, you're going to be blessed. But you need to look at the original Hebrew there, and a lot of times when you trust the Lord, you then obey him, and you aren't being rewarded for obedience, but the faith behind that obedience is what God is looking forward to. And guess what verse 19 ends? Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, which is what Abraham said was going to happen, that both he and Isaac, his son, would return to them. He obviously did not realize that there was going to be another animal that God prepared, because he was ready to put the knife into his son. He had the fire with him, and he was going to burn his son. But according to the Hebrews passage, he knew that Jesus, well, that's God who had been talking to him, would raise his son from the dead. And I like using this passage because the Sadducees were different than the Pharisees. They did not believe in a resurrection of the dead, as did the Pharisees. They took only the first five books of Moses as the Bible. And therefore, the passage where David says, after the son of him and Bathsheba dies, he will not come back to me, but I will go to him, that shows the resurrection of the dead. I believe also that Abraham believed in the resurrection of the dead, because that's what Hebrews says. But of course, that's not in the first five books of Moses. So we have a lot to teach the children, but the most important thing to teach them is what the CPH material does, is it connects the similarities of Abraham with Jesus. And so rather than we being sacrificed for our sins, Jesus is sacrificed for our sins, and we receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins.
Does God test our faith today?
God always is testing our faith. Sometimes he tests it when he does something really good. I mean, how many times, especially as a pastor, you're a little short of money, where am I going to get it? And all of a sudden you get something in the mail with a check in there from maybe a relative, and you didn't realize you were going to get that much money. And that really strengthens your faith in God. God will provide. But a lot of times that testing of faith occurs in suffering. We cannot escape suffering. And suffering is not God's way of saying that he is angry with us. Now, sometimes he allows suffering as a consequence of our sin, like he did with King Herod, where worms had eaten him. But a lot of times that suffering is again to test us, because when we suffer, boy, do we listen to the Lord. And the proof of that is attend a Lutheran funeral service for a believer, and you will see people being comforted, even though they're suffering with great grief, because of their trust in the promises that are spoken in the liturgy, the hymns, and the sermon. The individuals are comforted, and in that way, God tests them, and he does it by kind of hitting us like they do with steel to see how strong it is, and it actually hardens the steel. You can look that up on Google and see the different ways in which they test steel, and you may be surprised the heat that they use, sometimes the hammers that they use. They're trying to break it apart to know, is this steel that's good enough for a railroad, or is it good enough for piano wires? Because those are different kinds of steel. And all of us are different. So no matter what is happening to us, God is testing us in the sense of strengthening our faith as we turn to him for help, comfort, and thanksgiving.
With about 30 seconds here, Tom, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is God requires a payment for my sin. We can't forget that. In fact, it's built into human nature. In fact, that's why every religion in the world outside of Christianity demands some kind of payment. The gospel is Jesus is that ram that was taken by God himself and became my substitute to pay for my sin, so that on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pastor Ted Geese joins us after the break. We're going to take those new Best Picture standards that the Oscars came up with recently and are about to put into place in a year or two, and we're going to apply them to past winners of Best Picture and see how it comes out. Stay tuned.
The epistle to the Galatians is the epistle I love the most, which I have taken as my wife. It is my Katie von Bora. Those were Martin Luther's words about Paul's letter to the Galatians. It was his beloved epistle, and he wrote some of his best commentaries on it. Read the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, Galatians and the Reformation, to learn more. Witness.lcms.org to learn about it and how to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective. Witness.lcms.org.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
It's been 6 years since AdCruisen started advertising on Issues Etc., and we are so grateful for the support we have received from Pastor Wilkin and his team. In that time, we have increased our inventory substantially. We've added ornaments, church banners, jewelry, posters, and much, much more. But we still offer beautifully printed, theologically sound greeting cards that need no correction. So put away that Sharpie and come on over to adcruisen.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas; Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan; Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida; Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Lititz, Pennsylvania; Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California; Reformation Lutheran, Hillsboro, Oregon; St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania; St. Paul Lutheran, Wildwood, Missouri; and Trinity Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.